Now on monitor, Tony Bennett with his latest For Once in My Life.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. Once unafraid, I can't go where life leads me, and somehow I know I'll be strong. For once, I can touch what my heart used to dream of.
Monitor's talking cartoonist Al Kapp made a trip to the most troubled area of our world recently, and he reports on what he observed.
Something I found out on my tour of GI hospitals in Southeast Asia was that a funny thing happens to doctors on their way to serve out their time when they're drafted into the service. No matter how opposed they may be to leaving their promising and prosperous practices back home, no matter how opposed they may be to the war that takes them away from home and brings them to Southeast Asia, once they get there and working with the kids who've been hurt, they forget everything except those kids and their needs. They forget to eat regularly. They forget to sleep regularly. They forget about the good times and good incomes back home. When I asked one young doctor from Chattanooga in a hospital on Okinawa what his greatest problem was, he said, it's falling in love with those darn kids. It's a switch on the old bromide about patients falling in love with their doctors. He said he'd just come back from home leave 2 days early. It had been great, he said, to see his family, but after the first couple of days, he began to be haunted by the thought of the kids he'd been taking care of Back on Okinawa, worrying whether the MD who'd taken over would understand them in quite the way he did, until he simply couldn't take the affluence and peace of home any longer, and he had to get back to where the action was. War is the worst thing that can happen to us. How ironic that it sometimes brings out the best that's in us. This is Al Capp from Monica.
Al Capp is a regular on Monitor every weekend.
There is a circus parade, and there's an Easter parade, and there's a Christmas parade, and Pasadena parade, and there's a baby parade, and there's a baby parade. By now the point has been made, we'd love to watch a parade. You only have to say parade and you're sure of a smile, 'cause it's a chance to get away from yourself for a while. And when the sunlight hits the silver and gold drums, they cry, here they come, we'll save you from the doldrums. You see the tumblers also having their ups and their downs. A shout goes up because somebody has fallen and they're down. No better antidote to chase the frowns. And when they ooh and they ah, can't tell a kid from his paw. There's the Kiwanis parade, and there's the Lions parade. July the 4th, a parade, Thanksgiving Day, a parade, and there's St. Patrick's parade, Columbus Day, a parade. By now the point is made, we love to watch a parade. For several miles and more, the girls on the floats are reviewed. Of course, the gorgeous boats are where your attention was glued. A nice departure from the hum of existence. A colorful show for which we go the distance. And in the long procession, there are gigantic balloons. Thrown up in case you hadn't looked at the Sunday cartoons. But who is up for tracks and more tycoons? And you immediately can make the citizenry. A military parade, and Labor Day a parade, and the policeman parade in everybody's parade. And when I happen to play, you'll see a college parade. By now the point has been made, we love to watch a parade. And there's a veteran parade, and there's a Navy parade, inauguration parade, and Mardi Gras parade. Oh, how I love a parade, don't rain on rain.
That was Sue Rainey leading the parade. Rio by James Last. In or near Omaha, Nebraska, you heard it on KFAB. Wherever you're listening, stay with us. There's more to come. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
This is David Brinkley. My daily reports are heard each weekday afternoon right here on NBC Radio.
This is Monitor 67 on the first weekend in December. I'm your host, Ted Steele. We'll hear a report on a hippie community in Massachusetts. Yes, it seems the flower children are going north for the winter, but wherever they go, things get hot enough to keep them from frostbite. That story after the Supremes sing In and Out of Love. Until recently, the hippie centers of the country have been the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco and Tompkins Square Park in the East Village of New York City. But now there's a third garden for the flower children. It's in Cambridge, Massachusetts, just across the Charles River from Boston. In the past few months, there's been considerable comment on the situation there. Ron Pabuda reports for Monitor.
The hippie influx into Cambridge was indeed subtle, and came to light only after Cambridge Mayor Daniel Hayes declared all-out war on them, particularly the drug users. Subsequent raids on hippie pads along Massachusetts Avenue in Harvard and Central Square by Cambridge police and agents of the Drug Abuse Control Bureau has resulted in wide criticism from not only the hippies, but the Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts as well. Its legal counsel, Henry Monahan, in an open letter to Mayor Hayes, said, "The mayor has clearly and unmistakably asserted a power to determine who is and who is not fit to live in Cambridge." He continued, "Mayor Hayes' conduct is outrageous and must be stopped at once." We asked Mr. Monahan what action he plans to take to stop Mayor Hayes.
"It seems to me that there are really two alternatives. One is to try and persuade the Attorney General to intervene, since the Attorney General can quash any kind of criminal prosecutions brought here. So far, that tact has been very unsuccessful. Alternatively, and I think perhaps the most effective way, is to give tremendous publicity to what Mayor Hayes is really doing. And in that respect, I would hope that the press could take up the cudgels and expose Mayor Hayes and show exactly what Mayor Hayes is attempting to do. And he ought not to be able to hide behind this thin veneer. Mayor Hayes needed a campaign issue. He found one, and he rode through election on it.
Mayor Hayes, on the other hand, feels his city is being turned into a drug-oriented hippie haven, jeopardizing the health and welfare of the local population. We asked Mayor Hayes his reaction to the open letter of the Civil Liberties Union.
As far as I'm concerned, the Civil Liberties Union, in this particular case, is more interested in protecting the lawbreakers than the law-abiding people. It's my position, this is not a minority group as such, not ethnic or nationality minorities. These are lawbreakers. They're breaking the drug laws, they're breaking health laws, building codes, and have complete disrespect as far as their community is concerned. You'll find the most filthiest possible conditions existing inside these apartments. Absolutely no attempt to clean them up. Open, exposed garbage in the kitchens. Furniture, there's no furniture. They just use old clothing and old mattresses strewn around the floors for bedding or taking their so-called trips and use of the drugs.
The frequent raids in Cambridge are performed not only by the Cambridge police, but by the Bureau of Drug Abuse Control, whose function it is to control the sale of drugs. Richard Callahan, director of the Bureau's Boston field office, talked about his role in the Cambridge controversy.
When we were raiding in Cambridge at the location of where drugs were being sold, long before this war on hippies started, and I'm sure that we will be raiding in Cambridge long after it's over, if there is still a drug traffic in the city. But it has no connection whatsoever with anything that the mayor is doing. And the police were making raids in Cambridge long before the mayor or many other officials over there would admit that there was a problem.
In the middle of this whole controversy is 21-year-old Michael Sloan, a senior at Boston University who runs a psychedelic or head shop on Massachusetts Avenue called Headquarters East. It's a clearinghouse for newly arrived hippies, giving them advice and instructions on where to find food, housing, and occasional work when their need for nourishment asserts itself. According to many public officials, it's also a clearinghouse for drugs, though Sloan vehemently denies it. His arrest on charges of possessing marijuana and LSD have left him somewhat bitter on the subject, though he is free on probation. We asked him what he thought of Mayor Hayes and his war.
This loss of power is something that is frightening to people who've been in power in this area for many, many years. And the hippies represent one threat to that power, because they just don't conform to all the principles of these people. And what Mayor Hayes is doing now is kind of like a drowning man grasping for a straw, I think. He's just trying to use one very easily attackable group and showing, look, we still do have power. We can get rid of these people if we want to.
There are other stories to allegedly document police brutality and coercion. An attractive 19-year-old girl from New York related this story.
And the other day, I had a bad experience with a cop. I was standing in the street, and he made me come into his car, and he asked me if I'd been drinking, and if I had dope, and he wanted my name, wanted to know where I was last night, and he started putting me down, and you know, all of a sudden, his whole attitude changed, and I was a beautiful girl, and he wanted to take me out, and it was a pretty upsetting experience to be stopped by this cop.
This was a Cambridge policeman?
Yeah. He said, you know, he thought I might be a runaway, and he feels real sorry for runaways, and he'd like to protect me. But I think that at first he called me over because he hates hippies or something, and he must have thought I was one, and he wanted to get me any kind of trouble he could. And then he decided that, you know, he had personal interest in me.
We heard dozens of similar tales from local hippies and drug users, stories quickly denied by police. So the war of words and sometimes violence rages on in this community that houses such noble institutions of learning as Harvard and MIT. Where, then, is it all leading, Mayor Hayes?
The drug addicts are what we're trying to get out of the city of Cambridge. Whether we're 100% successful or not, I don't know, but we just have a moving going on here, and we want to stop it. And the city of Cambridge is not going to be an easy city for these drug addicts. It's going to become a very, very hard city.
This reporter arranged to visit several of the hippie pads and spent a great deal of time talking with kids from all over the country.
I don't think he's going to get very far, because the basis on which he wants to get rid of everyone is, it just isn't there. Cambridge is the new in place.
I think David was right when he said that in the spring you'll probably all freak out. Like a lot of the kids that went to San Francisco, I think will come to Cambridge.
I don't think it's going to be much different than it is now. I think, you know, cops are going to continue to beat up people, and there's just going to be more and more people here, like in New York.
Well, if he wants to step up his war, yeah, it is going to be a pretty messy, bad scene around here.
In the meantime, their numbers grow, as does the traffic in narcotics, as Mayor Hayes presses his war against what he calls the great unwashed, those who he says are creating an intolerable situation in Cambridge by their widespread use of drugs and other antisocial practices, such as boys and girls living together without benefit of clergy. Meanwhile, the city of Cambridge waits and watches. Ron Perbuta, 4 Monitor, now back to Radio Central.
A report on the latest hippie community in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Time for thinking about gift-giving. And remember, this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. And you heard it on the Monitor Beacon.
Fortuosity.
Fortuosity, that twinkle-in-the-eye word from Walt Disney's The Happiest Millionaire. Starring Fred McMurray as The Happiest Millionaire. And also starring Tommy Steele, Greer Garson, Geraldine Page, and introducing Leslie Ann Warren and John Davidson. See Walt Disney's The Happiest Millionaire.
It's the Happy Christmas Holiday Show on now at the Radio City Music Hall. On the screen, Walt Disney's The Happiest Millionaire, the musical event of the year starring Fred McMurray, Tommy Steele, Greer Garson, and Geraldine Page. The conversation station, WNBC, New York. At 13 minutes before the hour, here's that Chattanooga Choo Choo right on schedule on Monitor. Harper's Bazaar, please.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga Choo Choo? Track 29. We gotta get there on time. We can afford to board the Chattanooga Choo Choo. And just a little to spare. You leave the Pennsylvania Station about a quarter to four. Contain a magazine and then you ring Baltimore. Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer. Do another number down in Carolina. When you hear the whistle blow and make to the bar, then you know the satin and lace. I used to call Bunny Face. She's gonna cry until I never, I'll never own. So Chattanooga Choo Choo, won't you bring me home?
In one moment, one big happy family cannot add up to goals on the hockey scoreboard. Monitor Sports is brought to you by your Lincoln Mercury dealer, home of better idea cars from the makers of Lincoln Continental.
Mercury's got a hot new car.
Go, go, Montego!
Montego is spectacular.
Go, go, Montego!
Only the Lincoln Continental people would know how to make the Mercury Montego. Mercury's newest and lowest priced luxury car. Montego is Mercury's bright new star.
Go, go, Montego! Go, go,
cops, convertible station wagon too. The hot new Mercury since Cougar, inside and out, it's completely new.
Mercury Montego combines Cougar excitement with full six-passenger comfort at your Mercury dealers.
In Bobby Orr's crystal ball, the Boston Bruins show up as contenders in the National League hockey playoffs. The rugged defenseman shares his vision, and he gives less prophetic inside views to Monitor's Joe Hyder.
Bobby, how come in hockey a guy can get racked up and come back fighting?
There's no fine, but in other sports, there is.
I think that's what separates hockey from all other sports. If you have a rhubarb in basketball or football, you get thrown out of the game. But in hockey, you have a rhubarb, you get 5 minutes for fighting. If you have a second fight, then you get a 10-minute misconduct. And I think in the third, you get kicked out of the game. And it's not too often you have three fights in one game. Not too often you have two fights in one game. So I think that's what separates hockey from all other sports. You can have a rhubarb and you can still continue to play. And the people like this, I figure.
Now, you had a battle about a couple of weeks ago. I just wonder, the next time out against the same team, will you be up for this player or that team? How do you feel about it?
No, I'm going into a game to try and get 2 points. You're referring to the one game where I was hit, and I thought I was hit purposely. But I'm not going to skate out on the ice a very nice game and walk over to the guy and club him. It's just one of those things. You've got to take these things in sport. You're going to get hit often in sport, and you're going to get hurt. You know, you remember those things when you really get hit. Sometimes you'll remember them, but you won't skate after the guy as soon as you step on the ice. But if he comes down the ice on you and you get a good chance to hit him, you're going to hit him. Or try to hit him without getting a penalty.
Now, the new teams have had surprisingly big successes against some of the more established teams in the NHL. How do you account for this?
Well, first of all, I think these new teams have some real, real good hockey players. There were players they called fringe players who weren't given the chance to play in the league while there were only six clubs. Now they've got their chance. They're really showing up. They're playing well. They don't have pressure on them. They're not supposed to win. We're supposed to beat them every time, and they're loose, and they're playing really well. They're getting great goaltending. They got some great goaltenders from the six old clubs, and they're just hanging in there. They're beating these new clubs, these older clubs.
People are beginning to talk about the new spirit that has apparently been given to the Boston Bruins. So what do we attribute this, Bobby Orr?
I think it all started at training camp this year. All the fellas got together, and they said, look, we're one big happy family, and we've got to stick together. It doesn't matter what we do, we've got to stick together. So you go to a movie, and you see all the guys together. You go downtown, and all the guys are together. We eat together. I think if we weren't married, all the guys would live together. They're just one big happy family, and we've got some real good team men now. We got Eddie Shack, Phil Esposito, Freddie Stanfield, all real good team men, and we have Teddy Green back. He's been injured the last year, 2 years. He's really a real good team man. He's getting the guys going. Our club this year, a guy can go over to a guy and say, look, you're not playing well, now let's get the heck going. You're letting the other guys down, and the other guy gets working, and it doesn't matter. Each guy gives each guy heck, and that's what you need to have a good hockey club.
All right, let me ask you if the Bruins are going to end up in the playoffs this year.
Oh, you're darn right we are. We've been picked by all sports writers and broadcasters for fifth or sixth place, but I won't say how high we're going to end, but I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
Bobby, thanks very much for being with us on Monitor.
Nice talking to you, Joe. Thank you.
Bobby Orr of the Boston Bruins. This is Joe Hyder for Monitor Sports.
And now this word about Autolite.
Lamar, France, June 1967. You're listening to the car that won, the Ford Mark IV, a $100,000 car with a battery that's almost a carbon copy of the one you buy for under $22. It's an Autolite battery. How come a low-priced Autolite battery in a $100,000 car? Because there is no better battery for the job, not at any price. Get an Autolite battery for your car, whatever kind you drive.
Interviews, features, and news on Monitor Sports every weekend.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I've got to be me. What else can I? had nearly survived. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I've gotta be me. I've gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me. The call. I won't settle down or settle for less, as long as there's half a chance that I can have it all. I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've gotta be free. I've gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've gotta be free. I've gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die.
Steve Lawrence and I've Got to Be Me. And I've got to tell you, remember this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Play. That's Fowl, spelled F-O-W-L, chicks. NBC News on the Hour is next, and then I'll be back with more of Moniker. I'm your host, Ted Steele.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere.